This has been an exciting series for me. I don't know about anybody else, but, well, I do know because I want to share a couple of things with you. Last Sunday, after worship service, I had several people come to me and telling me about their breakthroughs. And that's just exciting to me. I had Jean tell me that she felt she had heard from the Lord praying for a breakthrough for our church, and that word was just keep on. Keep on keeping on. Be persistent. Keep feeding the poor. Keep doing the things that you're doing. And I see that as a breakthrough. I had Tracy come to me after church last Sunday, and she said for one reason or another, I've not been able to hear all these messages. I've had to be other places doing other things, and I haven't heard it all. But she said, my breakthrough is I am feeling the prayers of this church. I am feeling because we're praying three times a day, and we're praying for each other. And she is feeling that and knowing that. And just breakthrough after breakthrough. I've had several in my prayer times to have breakthrough to God, to hear from God, and it's just amazing to me what God is doing. And I think this message on being persistent in prayer is just so important. We need to keep that up. We need to keep praying three times a day. We need to keep that focus, that sharp focus in our minds of what we want God to do in our church and in our lives. And I guarantee you, you'll be blessed. Out of all the mysteries about prayer, out of all the questions about prayer, the most asked question, I believe, is this one. Since our loving Heavenly Father wants to answer our prayers and is eager to meet our needs, why must we ask more than once? And it's a fair question, isn't it? It's one that we are going to try to answer today. Last week we talked about the fact that God tells us, Jesus told us to ask and to seek and to knock. And in reality, in the Greek language, the way those words were used, it meant keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. And the question may come to somebody's mind, why? Why do we have to be persistent? Why do we have to ask more than once? Does God have to be cajoled? Does God have to be pestered and harassed until he finally gives in to our prayers? And the answer to that question is no. As a matter of fact, Jesus told two parables to teach us the exact opposite of that attitude. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. It can go both ways. Because a parable is a story that's told with a point. It's a story that Jesus told to teach a lesson. Jesus commonly used two kinds of parables. He used parables of comparison, in which he would say, this is what God is like, or this is what the church is like, and would tell that parable, making a comparison. But some of his parables were contrasts, saying, God is not like this. And the two parables we're going to look at today are both those kinds. They are contrasts. The first one is the story of a persistent friend in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Remember last week we talked briefly about that? They asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. They didn't ask him, teach us how to teach or how to preach or how to do miracles. They said, teach us how to pray, because they knew that's where the power for all of those other things was, in prayer. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, I love that, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And Jesus is saying, be persistent, but God is not like this friend who's just going to come give you what you want because you are irritating him, you are bothering him. He's going to give it to you out of your love for him and your persistence in prayer. The second parable is that of the persistent widow in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What is the contrast there? The contrast is that God listens and cares, even when people like the unjust judge does not care. How much more so will God grant you your prayers than somebody who doesn't really care about you at all? So the point is, God is eager to answer your prayers. Why then does God want me to pray persistently? Well, the first reason is it keeps my attention focused on God. You know, God loves to have your attention. Have you ever been? I'm sure you have been. I have been on many occasions, and I hope none of you have ever had this happen from me, but sometimes I do get distracted. But when you're talking to somebody and you see in their eyes, they're not listening. They're not hearing, or maybe looking over your shoulder at somebody else, and they're not focused in on you at all. How does that make you feel? That doesn't make you feel good at all, does it? And God is the same way. God wants you focused on him. He is always focused on you. He is always thinking about you. Not about your neighbor. Don't get into that. Not about everybody else. He's thinking about you, your name. He cares about you individually. One reason that God loved David so much, David was called a man after God's own heart. And one reason was because David paid attention to God. In Psalm 25:15, David said, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. I love that. Only he will release my feet from the snare. I get a picture in my mind of David saying, I'm going down a road in the forest. And in that road, several traps have been laid. And I've got to keep my eye focused not on the road, not on the traps, not on the snares. keep focused on God. And He will release me from all of that. Those traps will not get me. I will not fall into the ditch. I will not fall into the hole if I stay focused on God. In Psalm 105, verse 4, look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Now, question for us to consider today is, do you talk to God more when you need something or when you don't need anything? We're going to be talking to God when we need things, aren't we? We need to talk to God consistently and persistently, three times every day. Now, I'm not telling you that's a command of Scripture, but I'm telling you it's good, a good practice. And you get into that habit, you can't go wrong of praying to God that much. Another reason that God wants us to pray persistently is because having to wait teaches me something about myself. If I have to wait, I'm going to learn some things. There are a number of tests that you go through that will reveal certain things about you as you persistently wait. It says in Zechariah 13, verse 9, God is speaking and He says, I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on My name and I will answer them. I will say, they are My people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. God is testing us. God is testing you. God tests us all the time to see whether or not we will follow Him, whether or not we will persistently pray to Him. And so we go through the at least four areas of testing that we learn some things about ourselves. The first one is this. Praying persistently tests my desires. Now, we all have desires, don't we? We need to ask ourselves, what is it that I really want in life? There are good desires and there are bad desires. There are helpful desires and there are harmful desires. There are righteous desires and there are unrighteous desires. There are constructive desires and there are destructive desires. We all have desires in our lives, but persistent praying shows the difference between just a whim and a deep desire. If you're not willing to keep on praying for something, listen, it's not a deep desire. If you just pray for something one time and then forget about it and go about your way, you didn't deeply desire whatever it was you prayed about. But praying persistently shows that it is a deep desire. And God is not in the business of indulging in our every whim. That's not what He is about. Again, He's not a vending machine. He's not a genie in a bottle. And so He needs to see from us that what our deep desires are. Your deepest desires come from God. And He wants to fulfill them, but first, He wants to be in first place in your heart. He wants to be the very one that you are living for every day of your life. There's almost nothing that God won't give a man or a woman who is fully committed to Him. If we are fully committed to Him, there's almost nothing He won't give us. So we need to get our lives in line with Him and fully committed to Him in everything that we do. And then we can look to Him to see He will give us breakthroughs. He will answer our prayers as we go through life. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that a great promise? You delight in Him, and you're going to receive the deep desires of your heart. There's nothing better than that. Secondly, praying persistently tests my priorities. What's most important to you? What's the most important thing in my life? If something is not worth praying about repeatedly, it's not a priority. If it's worth praying about repeatedly, it is a priority in your life. How do you know what is most important to you? Easy answer. It's what you worry about. That's what's most important. whatever it is that you're worrying about. But then again, worry is acting like an atheist. Worry is like you have no father. You have no promises. So I need to worry about everything that goes on. I need to worry about my life, what I have, what I don't have, what I want, and what I don't want. Worry is just Christian atheism. That's all it is. Jesus gets right to the point on it in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You seek God's kingdom first. You seek righteousness first. You go after the things of God, and you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. You don't have to worry about where you're going to live. If you're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you have nothing to worry about. And so put that away. When your priorities are right, the answer is yes. So the question is, are you waiting for God, or is God waiting for you? That's the question. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. What a promise. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. It leads me to ask the question of myself, and I hope each one of you will ask this question of yourself. What is out of order in my life? Am I spending more time with God, or am I spending more time with Facebook? What's out of order in my life? What's going on? The third thing is that praying persistently tests my maturity. It's a gut check. It reveals your character. It shows your growth in Christ. Now, let me illustrate that by saying something that I think most of us know, or if not all of us. When you tell a little toddler that he or she has to wait for something, what's going to happen? They're going to throw a little fit, right? They're going to have a little tantrum. Why does that happen? It happens because toddlers don't know how to wait. When they see something, they want something, they don't know the difference between no and not yet. They don't understand that. They just want it now. So when it comes to prayer, is that how you are? Patience is a mark of maturity. Mature people know that a delay is not a denial. You might want to write that down. A delay is not a denial. God wants to meet your need, but God is more interested in growing you up. He is more interested in you becoming like Christ. That's why patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So how do you learn patience? You learn patience by waiting. You learn diligence by praying persistently, even when you don't feel like it. Can we all admit there are times when you don't feel like praying? I mean, I think that's true across the board. There are times we just don't feel like it, and we need to do it anyway. Parents, how many of you remember the first time you let your baby cry in the crib until he or she was asleep? Oh, I remember when Beth was in a crib, little tiny thing, less than a year old. And Beth has always had trouble going to sleep. I think she still does. Always had trouble going to sleep at night. And she would cry and cry, and I'd walk with her in my arms. Barbara would walk as much as she could in her arms, hours at a time, trying to get her to sleep. She couldn't fall asleep. We finally learned that we needed to just put her to bed and walk out and let her cry. Hardest thing I've ever done in my life. As a matter of fact, I went back in and got her. I couldn't do it. I mean, that is a hard thing to do. But I know that it was important for the baby's development. Or the first time you ever left a child at home alone, what were you know, the first time you said, well, you're old enough now, mom and dad are going to go out somewhere and leave you at home alone. It was not an enjoyable evening because all you did is worry about the kids at home. Are they okay? Is everything all right? Have they burned the house down yet? But you see, it was essential for their growth and their maturity. So when God thinks, now I want you to get this one, when God thinks that you're mature enough to handle it, He will leave you alone for a while to let you grow, to let you learn, to let you begin to understand. It's a character test. And some of you are feeling like that right now. Some of you are feeling, God has just left me alone. Congratulations. God is testing you. God is seeing how your character will develop. And the question is, will you keep on doing the right thing without His supervision? That's what He's testing you for. Will you keep praying when the answer is not immediate? Now, my wife Barbara had a spinal injury in 2008. Is that right? Yeah. And she was only able to move her toes from the chest down after that surgery. And the doctor told her that it's going to be a long, long haul. And you all know Barbara, most of you, I guess all of you know Barbara very well. And she has come a long, long ways. I have prayed for her to be completely healed over and over and over. I can tell you when the last time I prayed that. It's the last time I prayed. Because when we have a meal, I pray that. When we're saying our bedtime prayers together, I pray that. When I get up in the morning, I pray that to myself, between me and God. I pray that prayer every time I pray privately. Every time. I will not stop. I will never stop. When she's healed, then my prayers will be, thank you. Thank you. Every time. Because persistent prayer, God will answer. Amen. Now, He may not answer it on my time. I want her walking today, but I've got to be persistent. I've got to be mature enough to let God do it on His timing. So, will you keep on praying even though you don't get an immediate answer? Or will you throw a temper tantrum? God, you said you would. You said you'd do this or that. Or just keep on praying. There's a great example of this in the Old Testament. A man named Hezekiah. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Hezekiah was a king. And he followed God. But Hezekiah got very ill. And on his deathbed prayed for God to heal him. God gave Hezekiah a miraculous sign. And Hezekiah, the Bible says, his heart became proud and he stopped following God. But he did repent. And when he repented, God began to bless him, shower him with blessings. He was successful. He was rich. He was healthy. And God just showered him with His blessings. Now here's the strange thing that happened. In 2 Chronicles 32:31, when envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him about the miraculous sign that had occurred in the land, God left him. Get that. God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart. Hezekiah, are you going to tell these guys from Babylon that it was the Almighty God of the universe that gave you this miraculous sign? Or is your heart going to get proud again? God's testing him. God left him. You do it on your own, Hezekiah. I want to see how you're going to react to this. I want to see if you're going to give me glory and honor, or are you going your own way again? And Hezekiah, I'm glad to say, passed the test. Before God answers your prayers, He will test your heart. Are you ready? Are you ready to handle the blessing? Remember, as we studied Daniel for all those weeks, behind every blessing is a testing every time. God did this testing once with an entire nation, the nation of Israel, when they were in the desert for 40 years. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." Now, I know there's an argument that says God knows everything. And I'm going to tell you, I just don't believe that. God has the power to know everything. But if he always knew everything, what reason would there be for testing? He's testing you. He wants to see how you will operate, what you will do. Will you give him glory? Will you give him honor? When we're in pain, or even if we're just uncomfortable, we want God to just remove the symptom, but God wants to get to the core of the issue. God wants to remove the cause. We want a quick answer to ease the pain, but God wants to cut out the cancer and heal our disease, and that takes time. So the big question is, am I willing to let God change me instead of just changing the circumstances? I want him to change me. And that is the point of surrender in every breakthrough prayer. God, your will be done, not my own. The last point is that praying persistently tests my faith. Do I trust my feelings or do I trust my Father? Remember last week, I told you that God never will give you anything that is unhelpful. He will never give you anything that is harmful. He will never give you anything that is detrimental. He will never give you anything that is deadly. God will only give you what is good. He made you and he knows you. He knows what your needs are and he always has your best interest at heart. He knows what will make you happy. He knows what will make you happy even better than you do. And so that is what he will give you. A verse that is the life verse for many of us in this church is Jeremiah 20, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I don't know of a better promise in all of the Bible. But you have to wait. You have to be mature. And you have to wait on God's timing. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." I want to close with four ways that God answers prayer. Not 4 points. Okay, 4 ways. When my request is not right, God says no. When I am not right, God says grow. When the timing is not right, God says slow. But when my request and the timing and my character are all lined up right, God says go. This is why it says in Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Would you stand with me, please? And let's bow in prayer. Father, help us to be patient. Help us to grow. Help us to give our lives ever only to you. Help us to be completely given over so that we know our prayers can and will be answered. Thank you for all of your promises. Thank you for the plan that you have for each one of us. Help us to allow you to fulfill that plan in our lives. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you as we walk through the snares and the traps of this world so that we know you can set us free. Thank you for Jesus above all else. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for his atonement. Thank you for his love. Thank you for his teaching. Thank you, Father, for being willing to sacrifice him that we might live. We pray in his precious name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.